I've been trying to do some messages on events that are coming, but it's just not the time. We're going to be talking about things. But the body of Jesus Christ needs to know that God is building a kingdom. And no matter what events is going on in the world and when they go on, his kingdom is going to be continually being built. A lot of people don't even think about that during the tribulation when 144,000 Jewish people are going to be ministering the gospel worldwide. The kingdom is progressing. Yes. The kingdom is without end.
That's right. That's right.
The kingdom is never going to end, even after the rapture, the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ. God is bringing down a new Jerusalem and he's going to reign. A kingdom needs a king. We don't need to ordain a new king. We have a king.
Yes.
And it's going to keep on going. The problem that we face is that where sin abounds, grace needs to be abounding greater and greater and greater through the kingdom. It's not a hibernation time for the church. It's not a time when we just sit back and wait for things to happen. We are progressively moving forward in the kingdom of God. Otherwise, we're moving back and darkness is pushing us back. I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit and Joel, but as I was working on this, I'd like to take your Bibles, and if you have the King James, this is going to fit in perfectly, but Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. And I really want to show you this, and Kirk is pulling it up so I can use my light. I haven't used it for a long time. I kind of got lonely for it. But I want to break down some words. And I want us to see, because even in the NIV and in the New King James, it's not the word that I want. And he called 10 of his servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy. It's not saying retire. Mine says do business in the New King James. I think the NIV talks about business. But I wanted to break down this word occupy in regard to where we are. We understand something that the last days started basically on the day of Pentecost. This was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. But the word occupy is very interesting. It's not just sitting back and waiting. The word occupy means to keep doing transactions. It means to be doing business. It means to keep on being busy. It means to keep on doing. That's occupying. It's not just putting your feet up in the lazy boy and saying, I can wait now for the rapture. I can wait for this or I can wait for that. It's coming to a place of occupying, doing transactions, doing the business, the work of the church. Coming to a place where we're just not sitting back and waiting. Now, I want us to understand something. That the Holy Spirit came to do the work of Jesus on earth. That was his purpose. Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter, one of the same kind. And as the Holy Spirit comes and begins working through us, we carry on the work of the ministry. Now, that doesn't mean just being busy. It means being locked in with God, knowing what God is doing, knowing how God's doing it, and do it. I hear people saying, well, just sit back and don't have to do anything and you don't have to have this happen and you don't have to feel guilty about just doing the things that you're doing. There comes a time when we do what God says, not what man says. God gives us rest through our service, not that we're not serving. God takes care of us and gives us rest and gives us peace and gives us joy as we're doing the work of the ministry. He gave apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. This is not the day to sit back and be comfortable doing nothing for God. It's time that we realize how imperative it is that the kingdom of God is ushered in through us. Yes. And Paul knew that. He said the kingdom of God isn't meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to advance the kingdom in us and through us to those who need to be part of the kingdom. One day Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees basically said, show us your kingdom. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not something that you're going to see. The kingdom of God is within you. And that kingdom is spreading. Now, there's going to be an earthly kingdom. That's the millennial reign of Christ. He's going to set up an earthly kingdom, and then there's going to be a new heaven and new earth, and he'll have his kingdom forever. The kingdom started with Christ, and it's without end. Kingdom without end. And so what we've been telling you, to go help people, minister to people, touch people, give, share. That's all part of the kingdom expanding. Because the only Jesus that people will see most likely is a Jesus within you. And if the church is sitting down having Sunday morning services and that's all we care about, the church is not necessary. And so God is telling us, I'm empowering you, I'm anointing you, I'm calling you, I'm leading you, because there's purpose in the kingdom. And sometimes we get nervous. Well, what if I fail? What if things don't go right? What if they do go right? If you haven't tried something and failed, you haven't tried anything. Hello? Just walk in my path for a little while. You'll see failure all over. But it's okay. Because God is leading. Bill Johnson tells his school of ministry students, if you don't go out and fail at something, you're not going to graduate. Sounds stupid. Promoting failure? No. Just promoting doing what they feel God wants them to do. It's not promoting failure. Promoting getting out there and ministering. Getting out there and ministering. Acts chapter 2. And if you want to, when you get home, read Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. This is where Peter's taken this from. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have in America become kind of, and I want to phrase this right, kind of Holy Spirit desensitized in our churches. We have come to a place, and I'm being very honest, with our worship team and with things going on, Do you ever stop and think, what do we need God for? It's kind of fun being here. It's the wrong question and the wrong answer. Without the Holy Spirit moving, lives are not changed, powers are not broken, people are not saved, people are not healed, nothing is going for God, everything becomes about man. And that's where the church in America has been heading for quite a while. It's time we put on the brakes and come back to the fact that without the Holy Spirit, we're just a social organization. And I'm not, well, forget it. Turn with me to, we're going to go back to Acts 2 in a minute. But turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It's for your benefit. Now, I'm sure the disciples had a few questions. I'm sure they came to a place of wondering, why is it expedient or why is it our benefit that you're leaving? Because after all, they spent 3.5 years with God. God in the flesh, walking the earth, seeing the miracles, doing the things. And all of a sudden Jesus said, it's for your benefit, it's for your advantage that I'm going away. Let's look at it. Jesus could be in one place at one time. Jesus basically, and I just put it on Facebook yesterday, basically ministered through 82 people, the 70 and the 12. Understand? He sent out the 70 in Luke 10. He sent out the 12. But basically, that was his group. And there were a few others that followed. And the Holy Spirit is sending out millions. Yes. Because Jesus said to. There's no limitations on location. There's no limitation on distance. There's no limitation on who he's using. There's no limitation on if Jesus was here today, he couldn't be up there. And so Jesus said it's beneficial basically to his disciples and to the world that he goes away. And he goes on to tell them, for if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So what he's saying, the Holy Spirit's going to come and share the things I'm not going to share with you right now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it of you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I say he will take of mine and declare it unto you. The Holy Spirit in John 14 is called the Spirit of truth. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, you have truth. And so we come to a place where Jesus is telling them exactly what's going on. He's telling them when he has come, he's going to bring conviction. Thank God for conviction. He's going to deal with the things that need to be dealt with. He's going to come to a place where he is going to take from Jesus and declare it to us. And his purpose in doing this is not to bring honor to him, but to glorify Jesus. Is something clicking here? Almost everything the Father does, and the Holy Spirit is called the promise of the Father, is to glorify Jesus. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2, Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on through who being in the form of God did not think of robbery equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has what? Highly exalted him. Jesus stands exalted in this building every time we meet. Amen?
Amen.
Because he is worthy of it, and that is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit never came to glorify man. He came to glorify Jesus. Amen. Period.
Amen.
And we step out of that realm, we're stepping into trouble. So he's taking from Jesus the things that Jesus never told them, and he's declaring it. And then he told them, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be clothed, endued with power from on high. I don't want you leaving. That's when the Holy Spirit saturated them, baptized them, filled them, whatever term you want to use. And that's when Peter stood up with the 11, the 11, because they elected Matthias. And he starts preaching. And he starts telling them, this is that was prophesied hundreds of years ago by the prophet Joel. Joel had a revelation of a day of the Holy Spirit coming and filling the people and saturating the people and the gifts of the Spirit being manifested, that your young men and your young men and your old men will dream dreams and have visions. And on my children, I will pour out my Spirit and they're going to prophesy. And on my men servants and my maid servants and upon all flesh I will pour out my Spirit, and things are going to happen. It's not about having charismatic churches. It's about having charismatic people. It's not about naming ourselves Pentecost. It's experiencing Pentecost. It's coming through a place where the power of the Holy Spirit is saturating our lives, and we're out there prophesying and teaching and laying hands on the sick and casting out devils and doing the work of the ministry instead of waiting for somebody to do it for us.
Amen.
And that's where God's taking us. And as we're doing that, we're demonstrating to people the goodness and the love and the grace and the compassion of God. People don't want to live in sin. You say, well, that's crazy. I believe, honestly, there are not people out there who just love their addictions, who just love the things they're going through, who love all the sin. It's coming to a place where sin is overrated. And people want someone that can stand up and say, we're not just going to pray for you, we're going to set you free in the name of Jesus. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're taking on the devil, and the devil can't win.
Amen.
Amen. But we've sat back, maybe out of insecurity, maybe because we're not sure what we should be doing. Maybe because someone had talked to you one time and said, calm down, don't get too radical. You know something? I haven't met anybody too radical. Don't you think Jesus was considered extremely radical as he walked on earth? Don't you think as he healed the people on the Sabbath and they're shaking their heads and he's breaking the Sabbath, he's destroying our law, let's kill this guy. That was part of it. And so if he's pouring out his Spirit and continuing to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, let's get there. I know a preacher that once, very often said, get under the sprout where the glory comes out. Just get soaked with the glory of God. Now listen. I know when I preach this way, sometimes you kind of feel inhibited and you feel, boy, I've blown it. Man, I got nothing. And this pastor guy, you know, he's reading my mail. That's not what it's about. You're still breathing. There's time. You're breathing. And there's still sinners out there. And there's still lost out there. And there's still the sick out there. And there's still the demon-possessed out there. And we need to come to a place where God just absolutely saturates us with His Holy Spirit, and it doesn't matter what we face. Every one of you sitting here has faced some problems this week. And every one of you wonder, how come? What's going on? I was talking to somebody before church and prayed with them, going through some issues. But look at me. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
We need to just keep focused. All kinds of things going on. But what a time to bring hope. What a time to bring peace. What a time to bring God on the scene. What a time to take hold of somebody's hand and say, yeah, I understand your situation. I know it's tough, but there's hope. And that's what our nation has lost. We have lost hope. And churches are becoming seeker friendly. Don't offend anybody. Don't try to counsel with the devil. Don't get all excited about. We need to get excited about what God wants to do and not what people are telling us to do. And you know something? You can do it. You can do it through God. You can do it through the Holy Spirit. And the first time you start doing it and just taking step after step after step, pretty soon it comes to a place where maybe you'll ask for the mic at Walmart and say, God's healing people on aisle 6. Why not? Why not? They don't want to lose your business. But that's what God is up to. We're wondering, and people are wondering, well, where's God at? What is God doing? All we see is evil. It's like Ravi Zacharias says, where there's evil, there has to be good. Let's not be the good agents of undercover. Let's come out and shine and glorify Jesus. That's what He's called us for. There's going to be signs and wonders. There's going to be signs in the heavenlies. There's going to be signs on earth. There's going to be things happening. Doesn't matter. He'll take us when He wants to take us. But until then, we're going to occupy and we're going to do the work of the kingdom and we're going to do the things that God's called us to do, and we're going to enjoy the life. Look at me. Smile once. You might like it. Just try smiling. Yeah. You know, I get scared up here once in a while. But then He says this, but whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, let me go back a minute. Teach your children and your grandchildren to minister. You know, it's pretty hard for somebody in a wheelchair in Walmart and you have a 2-year-old run up to you and say, I want to pray for you, to say no. Huh?
That's right.
Well, you got to be worse than the Grinch to do that. You know, teach them when they see someone sick. Just go pray with them. Doesn't matter where. Because God's going to start using them at an early age and pouring His Spirit through them, and lives will be touched and people will be saved and people will be healed. The sons and the daughters, it never puts no age on any of this. Do you realize that? No age. Let them go. Turn them loose. And then you follow behind them and say, well, that's what I was thinking too. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered, shall be set free. It's a day of awakening for America. I know things don't look good. I know that China owns most of our country, trying to anyway, of a federal government, I should say. I understand what's going on, but the church never gets anywhere by denying the reality that God is a God of change. God is a God of the new. It's a new day. It's a new time. It's a new life. It's a new moment. It's a new moment for COC. And we need to invest our time and our lives in our communities, sharing and giving and blessing. Wouldn't it be amazing just to go to the city government and say, we want to help you? Go to the county and say, hey, we want to help you. The resources coming in, we want to bless you. Go to the bars and say, we want to buy you out. We want to put coffee houses in there. You say, oh, pastor, you're dreaming. Am I? It's happened all over other cities. We don't need the bars. We don't need the liquor store. And what happens? We invest in the city so they don't need it. Hello. Don't faint on me now. I didn't have any pizza. Andy asked me if I did. But why not? Why should our community be supported from money sold from getting people addictions? Hello. I'm not saying this happens overnight. I'm just saying let's get a new vision. Let's get a new eyesight. Let's get looking at things the way God would look at them. The gatekeepers. Those of you that God's raising up as gatekeepers, command that the drug dealers stay out of Sisseton. Amen. Or their car's going to get flat tires and their engines are going to blow up and things are going to happen. Why not? Amen. Why not? Sounds extreme. But we've been so unextreme for so long. It's like they said down in Pensacola, the church has been so below normal, when they get normal, people think they got a fever. I'm serious. You know, 33 years of being here and nothing changes, that's insanity. So let us change.
Yes, amen.
Let us do things different. Let us do things for the kingdom of God. Let us do things without worrying about what somebody's going to say. It's time to rise up.